This is The Impromptu, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. And now, your hosts for today, Michael Norton and Alex Knight.
Yep, but not before Avengers.
Avengers is before that?
Yeah, May.
Nice. I'm looking forward to Avengers.
Yeah, it's going to be something. And more importantly, in case there wasn't enough nerd overload, it's going to have the Star Wars trailer in front of it.
Ooh. I am definitely... I love Star Wars. I'm not a...
In case you needed more reasons to see it, right?
Right. I'm definitely not a Star Wars nerd like you. I don't really know a lot of... Like, if you were to ask me to recall certain, like, plot, like, details, I probably wouldn't remember them. But I do enjoy Star Wars. I've rewatched episodes 4, 5, 6 many times, so...
Yeah. Well, the other ones are of no consequence.
Like the whole Millennium Falcon thing with the dish being replaced. I didn't notice. I don't even remember that happening.
It was a very split second thing. And Lando's all, oh shit, what am I going to tell Han? Yeah.
So is Lando Calrissian, do we know if he's going to make an appearance in this movie or what?
It's unclear. They haven't said anything. I feel like he might make a surprise cameo at some point.
I think he needs to be in it.
Star Wars Rebels next week.
Star Wars Rebels, what is that?
The new animated series that takes place between episode 3 and episode 4.
Yeah. Are they actually using what's his name?
Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams.
And then the episode before that, they had Yoda.
Yeah.
So they've really been milking the celebrity character cameos.
Yeah, I hope he makes an appearance in this new Star Wars film. He lost a ton of weight when he was on Dancing with the Stars, so I'm sure he's fit enough to look like an older version of his character. Hamill lost a lot of weight for this film. I saw some of the photos during the, but he was trying, it looked like he was trying to hide it because he was wearing really, really baggy t-shirts, but you can just see it in his face, like, because he was pretty overweight before.
Yeah.
Like, even if you look at, any photo from, like, 2013, 2012. It looks like he lost quite a bit of weight to get into this role. You know, he's as old as Alec Guinness was in the original movie. Hmm. He's as old as Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
But it'll be good. You know, I'm really excited just to see these familiar faces, right?
Yeah. I'm excited for the new characters as well. Like,
yeah.
I think really the film is going to be from their perspective and they meet the old characters and it's like, whoa, what's going on? There's also a thought that, you know, in the brief teaser, Kylo Ren, the Sith guy, is on a snow planet. When he ignites his lightsaber.
Okay.
There's a theory that planet is actually Endor in nuclear winter after the fallout of the Death Star 2 explosion.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
And he's there to collect Darth Vader's mask.
Ooh.
So, implied Ewok extinction.
Ooh.
If they actually do that,
Did you like the Ewoks? I found them. I still don't like them.
That was the start of it. That was when Lucas started to go off the rails. Then he created Jar Jar. They were the precursor to Jar Jar.
I think he was he just like drinking? Or maybe he was always mad and it just bubbled up to the surface.
That's my theory. I think he was always nuts, but for the first three movies, there were a bunch of people around to keep him in check because it was the studio's money and they didn't want to lose money. But then when the prequels came around, he was paying for it himself because he'd made like $60 trillion.
Right.
And so nobody could tell him what to do.
Wasn't there anymore? that famous Harrison Ford quote where he said something to George about the dialogue being really terrible. I can't remember exactly what he said to him. He said something like, "What the hell are you doing? Like this, you know, this is, I can't say this shit," or something like that.
Yeah,
like it was really something like that. So like it seemed like a bunch of people were trying to steer him in the right direction, because not the best dialogue writer.
No.
Like great world builder, great at the bigger picture stuff.
Like
but
he had
the actual
great big picture ideas, but when it came to like the minutiae of a plot and dialogue, no. Like when
in the remasters, didn't the Ewoks have like CGI eyelids or something like
that?
Like
yeah,
they did something
did all
weird,
kinds
like,
of shit like, to the special edition.
Fucked up stuff. Like what
that's why I grabbed the despecialized editions.
Yeah,
of all the original
those are
movies.
Great.
So good. Yeah. It was so good to
and
see
it's,
them
it's
the
really,
way they were meant to be.
It's kind of sad that it took a fan to make these.
Oh, I know. And they went on this epic quest. Versions. They went all over the world and collected like the original negatives and everything.
Right. Yeah. You know, I have. I'm curious. I haven't popped them in my DVD player to check, but I actually found I have a episode 4, 5, 6 DVD collector's box set that is remastered, but I don't know to the extent of I've lost track of how many remasters they've done, so I don't know if this has the Han the Greedo shoots first.
The
I can't remember did they
Han
do that
shoots first?
No, I know, but did the first remaster done by Lucas have that change? Because I know they did. They replaced a bunch of stock, a lot of scenes that were done with like stop motion animation. They replaced it, retouched stuff digitally. But I can't remember if they had that from the get go. If Lucas made that major change with the first remaster. So I don't know. I don't know what's. I guess I'll have to. I could rewatch those DVDs, but I'm scared to rewatch them to see if it has that messed up, that awful change. Maybe I should just stick to the despecialized editions. And just
yeah,
be
that's
happy
probably
with that.
Best. I mean, if you want to see it the way it was originally seen in theaters, that's your best bet.
Yeah,
it's the only way to ensure that nothing was added.
Well, the thing is, I remember when the remaster came out. When I heard that they started to replace scenes instead of just all I wanted was like a cleaned up, you know, go back to the original film negative, clean it up, obviously get rid of the noise, use whatever technology you have to make the film cleaner, correct, you know, do color correction.
No, we have to add terrible alien
sing-alongs. That being said, it seems, you know, it's funny in comparison to Star Trek fans, people, I don't know if you've seen them, but they've remastered the original Star Trek series and all the practical effects have been replaced with CG. Like even the Enterprise is CG.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And I like it. I think it actually looks it integrates, it works seamlessly way they did it.
In that
purists don't like that.
Well, in that case, I think they actually did it tastefully. I think they actually updated it reasonably well. While still remaining as faithful as possible to the original.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not too bothered about it in that case.
They replaced, didn't they even replace the matte painting backgrounds with digital stuff?
Yeah, I think they did in some cases.
Hmm.
I didn't, like, what I've seen, I haven't minded. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen some of the original episodes remastered.
Yeah.
And it was good. I mean, I didn't feel any kind of like, oh, God, what have they done? It was more like, okay, yeah, this is what it would look like if they had access to that technology.
Sure. Right.
Like,
you know, the Next Generation remaster looks really good.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing with the Next Generation is the effects were just good enough to kind of deliver on the idea that they had, but not quite good enough to look completely realistic. Right. So it was kind of at that point where they could look at it and go, okay, yeah, we can do a CG version of this and it'll look fine.
Yeah.
Like the Encounter in Farpoint Aliens.
Mm,
you knew that they wanted to do giant space jellyfish.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So they just do better CGI space jellyfish, and it looks the same.
Yeah.
So,
you know, one series that, because it had so much CGI at a time where CGI was kind of in its infancy still, but I recently rewatched Babylon 5.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it has not aged well. just from the brilliant story, but the effects look so bad. It gets better, I think, after season 4 and season 5, the last two seasons, the CGI gets noticeably better. But if anything's in dire need of a remaster, and I know it would be difficult because it's not just remastering the actual original film negative, the CGI, all the effects would have to be painstakingly re-animated effectively. So it would take them a long time, but oh my god, that series needs a remaster badly, because the DVD, even the DVDs, they haven't even released them on Blu-ray yet.
Yeah.
And it's looking pretty grainy. Same thing with Star Trek The Next Generation, to be honest with you. Like the current version that we have on Netflix streaming, at least here in Canada. I don't know if the Netflix US has the remaster.
They don't.
Next gen, but it looks really blurry. And then if you look at the I haven't actually bought the next gen remastered seasons yet, but what I did was I actually bought, because I was just curious to see what they did with the quality. So yeah. I bought
They do a box set of like the first few episodes or something.
They did. So yeah, what I did was I bought the I forget the episode titles now, and I'm being a really bad Star Trek nerd. The two part one and part two were Captain Picard gets captured by the Borg and
becomes
Best of Both Worlds. So Best of Both Worlds part one and part two, they edited them together
as
one
movie.
Long movie, yeah. And they released it on Blu-ray, and I bought that. And by the way, if you haven't seen that, it's awesome just seeing it as like one continuous episode with no breaks. But
it's pretty easy to edit, because it's like it ends with him going fire, and it starts with him going fire. So
yeah. But anyways, it looks really good on Blu-ray. It's a shame that I know it was originally designed for 4x3, but like next gen just seems like, if that could have been 16x9, like my god, it would have looked epic.
Oh yeah. Well, it's sad because the first one they did in HD was Enterprise.
Right. Yeah, not a good series.
And the last.
Not a good series. First and the last.
I so
HD.
Hope that they do another show.
They have
point.
To. They will.
I
they
really
will.
Hope they do.
It's too big of a franchise not to do.
Yeah. Although on the other hand, the movies have kind of stalled. Like Star Trek III, who knows when that's coming out.
Actually, interesting thing I read
think it's
recently.
2016?
Right. Yeah, it's not for a while. But actually, interesting thing I read recently was that I think it was around the time, just before, it was after Enterprise ended, so not too long ago, Jonathan Frakes actually pitched a new series, which would be about Riker getting promoted to captain. Because at the end of Star Trek Nemesis, which was not a great movie by any means, he becomes the captain of his own ship. And I'm already forgetting the name of the ship now.
The Titan,
right? So I would have, I mean, I love...
Actually
I love
did a book series of him captaining.
Oh, really?
Titan,
I should read that.
Which culminated in a crazy multi-part series where the Borg invaded the Alpha Quadrant again, decimating worlds, until it was discovered that... Oh, it's this whole thing. Basically, it turns
out... Don't spoil it. Okay. But was it good? Did you like it?
It was good. It was a really good story. I would actually like to see it as a movie. It was that good a story.
Really?
I mean, it kind of retcons the origin of the Borg, but I felt that they did it justice. And we got to see some of the Voyager crew members, so that
was
cool. Like Janeway's in it. Seven of
Janeway's
nine
in a Janeway's a admiral now, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And in the books, she captains a drastically upgraded version of Voyager.
Ooh. I miss Tuvok. I think Tuvok is a really strong character.
He's in it too.
Cool. Yeah. I have to get that series
and
vote for me.
I don't know, kind of an obscure character, Melora Paslar from DS9.
I don't remember that character.
She was,
I have seen DS9.
She was from a high gravity world and she had to wear that float belt thing.
It's been a while since I haven't actually watched
DS9.
Bashir
kind of had a thing for her, but then she left. She's actually a crew member on the Titan.
See, so he pitched this idea and apparently they were on board with it, but then they kind of switched gears and they wanted to do this movie with JJ and kind of retcon things, change the timeline and whatnot. So it was one of those stories where it was like, it almost could have been a thing. We would have seen an older Riker commanding the Titan, which I thought was really cool. Could still be done. I mean, William Shatner was old. I mean, they were all really, they were like senior citizens when they did like Star Trek VI, right? So I think there's no reason why you can have an older captain, Riker.
Yeah.
They could work.
And I mean, we're at the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. So I mean, if there were ever a time to do something, this would be it.
Why can't they? I don't understand. Why can't there be a Star Trek series now? Like, it doesn't matter. I don't know
there
what
totally
they're,
could
if
be.
They're
There's
concerned about
it.
There's no reason why people wouldn't go and watch a movie and watch the series. Like, are they afraid it's going to, like, releasing a movie is going to somehow take away? I don't know what their thought process is, but there is, now is a better time, Paramount. Now is a, is there's no better time than releasing a series now. They could even make it a Netflix series. Although that would probably take away from the giant viewership because so many people still have cable, but
oh, lots of people subscribe to Netflix.
Actually Netflix, I can't remember, I read the user base recently, it was, they mentioned it at CES, I can't remember, it is massive.
Yeah,
like there's no reason why a Star Trek series would not work on Netflix with their format where they just release like a batch of whatever six to ten episodes at a time. Like, actually, that's perfect for Star Trek, because if it's like a one long, like if they made a new Star Trek series where there was like instead of like these compartmentalized episodes, if they just had like kind of like a DS9 thing where it's one big story arc, they could easily put out 10 episodes at a time and people would just eat them up one after another.
Yeah.
Man, this is actually really getting. I'm excited because I want a Star Trek series right now, but I'm also sad because I know it might be a while before we get one.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens there.
Are there any new? Like, I don't have cable, but have you heard of any new sci-fi series that has come out recently? Is there even any good sci-fi on anymore?
There's gonna be a 12 Monkeys show.
No, I mean like space stuff.
Yeah, no. There was this
need something in space, something.
There,
I don't
there
care.
There was this ill-advised attempt to create a show about. Actually, no. It's probably going to get canceled. And the twist was,
don't say it.
The twist was, no, you're never going to watch it. The twist was, they're not actually in space. They think they're on a spaceship, but they're not.
Oh god!
So it's like really stupid because
yeah,
you're
that
like,
sounds pretty bad.
Oh, it's gonna be all space. They're on a spaceship, and then at the end, it's like, no, they're not. And you're like, what? Somebody gets thrown out of the airlock, so it's like, wait, what happened? Nothing, probably, because they're not in space,
right?
It's bad.
They're all like, they're.
And they think, and they act like it's the 1950s, which makes it even more hilarious.
It's all virtual reality.
No.
They just wake up at the end.
No, that was the other Ron Moore show where they were on a mission to Titan or something. virtuality that lasted like 3 episodes and then they killed it.
Have you seen Galaxy Quest?
Yep.
I actually just got around to seeing it like a month ago. It was on Netflix or something.
Whoever wrote this episode should die.
You know what? I really see what people are saying about it. It seems like a cultural phenomenon. So many people rave about that movie, and I'm like, I don't get it. Well, like, I remember it looking really silly, and then I watch it. I'm like, wow, actually, this is really clever.
Because it pokes fun at all of the old sci-fi tropes.
Exactly.
It's great for that. Like, yeah. Of course there's a conveyor belt with crushers and flamethrowers. Exactly. Of course there is. Because it's on the show.
Right. Some of the stuff that just happens and it's so preposterous.
And the conveyor turning things inside out.
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, not so much. I mean, when you look at some of the concepts and plot stuff that happens in certain sci-fi shows, I mean, they are poking fun at it. It's exaggerated, but I mean, some of the plot stuff is pretty silly. I mean, some of the stuff in Star Trek works and some of it doesn't, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Voyager had quite a few doozies. Like that episode where cheese made the ship sick.
Oh, they had some... you know what? I actually really like Voyager. It's one of those series where it... Again,
When it was good, it was really bad.
There were some real stinkers on that show. But you know what? Star Trek, I mean, Next Generation had those kind of stinker episodes too. That's the thing. A lot of them were in the first season. I'd rather the first season kind of like, okay, the first season's crap. We can kind of just, lump it all together.
Riker grew the beard.
Yeah. Riker was better after the beard.
Yeah.
Somehow.
But that's why it's the antithesis to jumping the shark, growing the beard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reference to that. Because after he grew the beard, everything was better.
Well, not everything was better. His waistline wasn't better.
The show was better. It was slowly expanding
season after season.
I feel bad for the show.
Do they not have a gym on the Enterprise? Even in the movies, they show which was the movie where Troy and Riker get married and they're gonna have a Beta Z wedding where they're all naked and Captain Picard's like, "Oh, I'll be in the gym working out."
Yep, that was Nemesis.
But everyone was in shape on that show except for Riker. I don't get it.
And the show showed several gymnasiums. There was the martial arts arena where he fought his dad.
Right.
And then there was the other one where they did Tai Chi or whatever.
Yeah. What was that game that they played? That dangerous game they mentioned in the first couple of seasons? Something squares.
Parisi squares.
Parisi squares. Did he just stop?
It involves a mallet. And it's like, what?
Well, they have those scenes that, you know, that like in the first season where you would see Riker and Worf training on the holodeck, you know, doing these crazy ass programs.
Yeah.
Training programs. And then Worf's calisthenics you know, classes that he would do and stuff like that. But, I feel like it takes away from the reality that they're on this ship in unknown space and they've gone up against all these enemies. And I feel like like, the Enterprise is a ship of exploration, not war, obviously, but you have to be in shape and well-trained in the event that somebody tries to board your ship and take it over. If you're breathing too heavily and you can't sprint, and you're, like, sweating, you're like, you know, and you can't breathe. Like,
Riker ate too many cakes. He can't fend off the Klingons.
Oh, Deanna, you know, Deanna's love for chocolate, right? She just like ends up, she's like feeding him too much chocolate cake.
And then he's like, "Oh no, I have a food coma." And the Klingons are all like, "Ah."
Some, Somebody should start a Tumblr for like discarded TNG scripts, like these episodes where like just Riker's eating cake.
There's that TNG season 8 Twitter.
I like the I follow the Riker account.
Oh god,
Riker tips or something like that?
Riker, no, it's Riker searches on Google.
Google Riker googling.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh jeez.
We're going to have a lot of Tumblr links in this episode.
Yeah. Tumblr's good for that sort of wacky stuff.
It is. It really is. Just don't fall down a Tumblr hole. You'll be there for hours.
Yeah. It's pretty much in a black, like a dark abyss.
Yeah.
Once you go in, you're not coming out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else is going on? Anything, any gaming related stuff you want to talk about? What are you playing these days?
Pretty much the same stuff I've been playing for the past month or two. Mm-hmm. Destiny, Dragon Age.
Still playing Destiny?
I'm still playing Destiny. I know.
I have so many problems with that game.
I know.
I haven't played it in months, actually. I got, I don't know. It just, it looks pretty, but there's not a lot of substance to the story stuff that's in it.
The expansion was kind of cool.
I haven't tried the expansion, but I know I got stuck because the way the leveling system works, like there's certain...
Yeah, you kind of have to grind. Stuff, you have to do bounties and level up. And
it's not for me. That's not fun at all.
Yeah, it's not for everyone.
But yeah, I got sidetracked. I'm absolutely in love with Shadow of Mordor. I think that game is fantastic.
Oh, awesome. You got it.
I think it innovates in certain key areas that are really important. It really surprised me.
What do you
really
think of the Nemesis system?
I don't know what that is. Is that the way the characters, like, they kill you and but then they remember who you are and that whole thing?
Yeah, I talked about it last episode.
Oh my god, that's fantastic. I love it. I love how the characters that you go up against will also fight each other and vie for power, and they'll get promoted and stuff like that, and that's awesome. I love that.
I also like some of the random names it decides to generate. There's this one orc that I killed. As douche. I kid you not.
I haven't come across that yet. That's awesome.
And then sometimes it generates an orc whose name is just douche. D-U-S-H.
Right. Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course. And then it's even funnier when the subordinate orcs decide to chant his name. So you're fighting this captain orc as all the other orcs are going... Douche, douche. Yeah.
It's not pronounced douche, it's pronounced dush.
Mm. Or no, there's an accent at the end. Douche. Yeah.
Douche. that'd be like the most pretentious orc.
Yes. Hipster orc.
Hipster orc.
He has a scarf and his sword is plaid.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, I'm not too far into Shadow Mordor. I got to get back to it. I got sidetracked. I absolutely just could not put down Danganronpa. And then, course, I played the sequel, and it ties up a lot of
really
loose ends.
I really need to get that, then I'm going to get lost in it forever.
I think both of them are on sale now. You should get them. They are... It was my first visual novel, and I didn't know what to expect. And when I first started playing it, it felt really slow to me. I think it's because my expectations were different, and I'm not used to playing a visual novel game. And you have to click through a lot of dialogue, right? There's not like a ton of action.
Mm.
So, but I just stuck with it, and once the story started picking up halfway through. The first game, I just could not put it down, and it just blew my mind. Like, there's stuff about the characters and the plot. Like, it kept on making me guess what was going on, and I really had no idea what was happening. Same with the sequel. And the sequel, it's one of those rare things where a sequel, in my eyes at least, is actually even better than the first. It surpasses the first one because it takes what was great about the first one, the excellent characters. You know, you fall in love with these characters. You love these characters. Sometimes bad things happen to these characters. Mm. It's just gut wrenching. You feel so much emotion.
Doesn't somebody die every chapter or whatever?
Well, people die in the first one too, all the time, and people getting killed.
And then
off,
you like but, accuse someone of being the murderer, and then right. they die.
Right.
But you can accuse the wrong person to keep other people in the game?
Is
that
kind
something
of.
Else? Am I thinking of a different game?
I mean, if you the way the so you go through these when somebody dies, you have a class trial where you have to figure out who the actual murderer is. But the actual concept is if the murderer is able to get away, if you vote at the end of the class trial for the wrong person, then everybody dies and the murderer gets to actually leave.
Oh.
There's no way to actually, like, you can fail, but you're able to, like, if you fail at the end of, in the middle of the class trial, like, you can start over again. So it's not like you'd, like, totally fail. Mm. Like, you can't actually really screw up. You can,
does the murderer
start,
change
start
if you
again.
Continue?
No.
Or?
No. Okay. The real murderer is the murderer always. Like, you have to just go through the events in order to actually find out who it really is.
Ah.
But it's still awesome. And yeah, the second one just expounds on like the actual.
Doesn't have much replay value then.
No, not a lot of. No, there's no real replay value.
Because once you know who did it, that's always
exactly.
Who did it.
You know who did it, right? But such a great experience. The second one expands on like the actual world is physically larger, and everything that you love about the first game is in the second game and more. And there's just crazier stuff that happens. The plot is more detailed. They actually, you don't really, I can't really say this without spoiling the first one, but let me just say, the first game makes you wonder what has happened to these certain groups of characters, and the second game, you get some of that closure. So even though it's introduced new characters, they bring back some of these older characters, and you get closure on what's actually happened to them, and the older characters from the first game play an integral part in the second, in the sequel. So you really should play both, but I cannot recommend them enough. I don't know if I'll ever play another visual novel game. I know there are a lot of them out there. I don't know of many. From what I've been told from other people who play a lot of visual novels is that Danganronpa 1 and 2 are probably some of the best visual novels. They're really strong. And I know there are a lot of other visual novel games that are not as well written. Maybe I'll give another one a shot. But they're both very, very long games. So it was kind of really tough at times because this, like, you desperately want to find out, like, what the hell is going on? And it just keeps on going, and shit keeps getting like worse and worse, and like bad stuff's happening. You're like, when am I gonna find out what the fuck is going on? Like, and it just it keeps on stringing you along, which I think is a testament to the writing and the character development of the sequel. So, anyways, cool. Highly recommend it.
I will have to give it a look.
Excuse me, I'm gonna need some water here. But yeah, now that I'm done with Danganronpa, I picked up another game that was recommended by someone on Twitter, @FailGunner. He recommended I get Ease the Oath in Felghana, and I've never played an Ease game before, and I just started it last night, but I already know I'm going to like it, so... Pretty cool. It's sort of like Final Fantasy-ish, but I've tried so many times to play various Final Fantasy games, and I think I'm just not the kind of person that enjoys the turn-based battle tactic stuff. It feels like too much work to me. Like, I don't want to have to manage resources on my team. I don't like having to assign characters to do certain things in a battle, and it just makes me really stressed out. I don't like it. This game doesn't. It seems more Zelda-ish, where you're just kind of like you're hacking and slashing, and there's still some strategy involved, but it doesn't seem as difficult to me as some of the Final Fantasy stuff.
Hmm.
But from the reviews that I read of the game, because it's an older, it's actually originally it was a PSP game, but now it's been recently released on Vita.
Huh.
I read some of the, I watched some video reviews online, and from all, it is quite a popular game. It's got a very good reputation as being a very strong JRPG game. Really, for the time when it was released, like a lot of games, there are a lot of games that had a lot of dialogue, but no actual voice over dialogue, or had very little voiceover work. This game, like all the text on screen, you can read it, but there are voice actors in this game, and the voice acting in the English version is very, very good. Mm-hmm. So seems interesting so far. Unfortunately, it has one of those tropes where there's, like, you know, kind of lady in distress and saving her and the kind of stuff like that,
which
sucks. But I mean, it is an older game. Over, if you can overlook that, though, everything else about the game is really, really, really strong. So I'm enjoying it very. It's kind of just early days. I haven't put that much time into it yet, but I know I'm gonna be able to finish it at least. So
cool.
Oh, my backlog is massive right now. I gotta finish Shadow of Mordor. I gotta finish this. I mean, I dare not look at my
Steam library.
Oh my god! So, you know, because they've got all these crazy sales. PSN has sales all the time, so I'm buying games and stuff like that. But one of my New Year's resolutions was to step back on just buying so many games and try to finish a lot of games that have been in my queue. And I'm trying to be a little bit more merciless and just cull stuff from my queue. Like, if I haven't touched a game in 6 months, I'm deleting it.
Mm.
Or if I, you know, there are a bunch of games where, like, I actually spent several hours starting games, and then I put them off for like 6 months to a year, and I and these are games on my Vita, and I started them up again last night, and I spent about like 15 minutes to half an hour kind of going through some of these games. And then I realized, you know what? I don't think these games are for me, because, you know what? The ones that I'm able to finish are the ones that get me hooked from the get-go. And I'm sorry, if I've already played several hours and I just can't get into it, I'm just going to delete it now.
Yeah. Well, that's fair.
I've got to this point in my life where I know the kind of games that I'm going to enjoy. I like story-driven games. I like games with a rich narrative, with characters I can really relate to, and some of these the more simpler games, although they may be really well done, they're just not for me. Like, I can't, like, I bought Ollie, and it seems really well done, but it's frustrating. It's really difficult. Like, this, but it's the same issue I had with Tony Hawk, or the original Tony Hawk game. It's those kind of skating games. Like, you have to land perfectly in order to get this combo, and it's just, I rather get lost in a rich narrative rather than playing these kind of games, where I feel like it's fun playing them for 10 to 15 minutes at a time, but I don't want that. I want a game where I can get lost in it for hours and hours and get heavily involved in this story, in this world.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of games that I love. That's why I love the Metal Gear Solid series. I love those kind of games.
Mm.
And those are the games I gotta keep playing. Yeah. So anyways, I deleted a ton of games from my Vita. Have you actually tried the newly released version of Duke Nukem, which is free on PSN right now?
I have not.
Came out for PS3. It's cross-buy for PS3 and Vita.
Hmm.
I have not fired it up yet. I mean, obviously, I played the original and stuff like that. This has the original Duke Nukem 3D plus all of the... Yeah, I think the extras that came after the original release. It's got some extra stuff in there anyways, but yeah, it's free if you want to relive old memories.
Well,
of course you can do stupid things.
I have old memories. I never played
it's a very,
it. So.
Okay. Well, it's a very... It's a very immature game. I mean, it's got a silly, stupid plot. I mean, this muscle-bound testosterone, you know, protagonist who, you know, and the game finishes with, like, you know, Duke Nukem getting a woman and sleeping with her in bed, and, you know, and they're a stripper. Like, you can go into strip clubs in this game, and they'll be like strippers. Obviously, it's really pixelated graphics, but you can do things like, I remember when I played the original on PC, if you hit the space bar while you're in front of the stripper, you would give them money. And you can also shoot the strippers and kill them too, which is really awful. But, stuff like that. Of course, you can play the game and not do that, which is something I do. I don't kill the strippers. But still, it's a very kind of 14-year-old boy type humor. It's a game of its time. I mean, these kind of games don't really tend to get made anymore. I want to replay it for the nostalgia. GTA 5.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyways, there are quite a few great games out right now. I gotta go through. I've got some other games on my PS4 that I gotta finish. What else? Shadow of Mordor. I'm ambivalent about Destiny. I feel like I wanna try and load it up again just to see if I can get back into it, but I'm not super confident about it. I actually have been playing, I'm almost done Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. Mm. I bought it a while ago and I put it on the back burner, but I bought the Metal Gear Solid HD collection on PS3 and Vita.
Nice.
It's cross buy. And you get Peace Walker and Metal Gear 2 and 3, I think.
Hmm.
Peace Walker's awesome. Really awesome. Yeah, I played the first Metal Gear Solid game, and I missed the stuff that came after that, so I'm really enjoying the story. And actually, the story that's in Peace Walker actually is kind of the precursor to some of the stuff that was in the Metal Gear Zero's game, which picks up after Peace Walker, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about this new Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain game.
Yeah, that's looking cool.
They spent a lot. I don't know if you saw the there's like a extended kind of preview of some of the stuff that they were working on for the game, and they really seem to put a lot of time and effort into horse poop animation. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah,
but you can ride a horse in the game, or horse will just take a shit.
It was also funny, Nomura, or Kojima, like trolled this Japanese TV station on New Year's. He spent like 2 hours talking about how you could wear a chicken hat in MGS5.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird
chicken
thing.
Chicken hat. I think it does something, but yeah. Chicken hat. 2 hours. Talking about a chicken hat.
Wow.
And he's showing footage and he's playing with the chicken hat on. And he's like, oh, as you can see, it shows up in the cutscene. So it looks ridiculous. And they're just like, okay.
He's an interesting guy.
Oh yeah,
he likes taking pictures of his food.
Well, as long as he does a good Silent Hill game.
Yeah,
looking forward to that. I don't know if it'll be out this year, but
is that official? Because he was involved with the Guillermo. PT demo, right? It was like a collaboration between who was it? Who
PT,
else worked on that?
PT was essentially a trailer for Silent Hills, which is being made by him. And Guillermo del Toro.
Do we know anything more about that? Is it like a reboot or is it a continuation?
It's unclear,
what, like, is it?
But we know the main character is Norman Reedus.
Okay.
From
I don't know
Walking
who that
Dead.
Is. I'm sorry. Oh.
Crossbow guy from Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. And on that note.
Yep. Time to call it a night or a day or whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people in various time zones listening.
Yep. So whether it's good morning, good night, or hello, or goodbye, this has been an episode of The Impromptu.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Impromptu. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to leave a rating on iTunes and let your friends know about us.
Detailed show notes for each episode are available on our website at theimpromptu.net. You can follow the show on Twitter at theimpromptu, as well as our hosts individually at Zen Impulse for Michael Norton and at Zero Distraction for Alex Knight. As we are entirely listener-supported, you can donate to us at theimpromptu.net/donate. All proceeds go towards covering bandwidth as well as equipment upgrades to uphold the highest level of audio quality you've come to expect. We really do appreciate your support, and we look forward to seeing you next time.